Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Oh, Lord, lift up the Savior for men to see. And he said it by.
Somebody help us to lift Jesus up, lift up his name and all the praise. Amen, amen. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott. Normally I would say a few words during the playing of the music, but we had some technical problems here. But God is on our side. I want to tell you right now, the woman on divine assignment, Pastor Patricia Benjamin, is on the line. Good morning, hey. Pastor.
Good morning, Dr. Scott. We thank God for Jesus, as I always say, and we thank him for his blood. Oh, bless his name, because Lucy. Because without the shedding of his blood, we would be lost on today. Wow, the enemy didn't want me to get that word out. Oh, bless his name. But we are grateful for another day. Today is the 22nd day of April, and I praise God for his goodness. I tell you, I'm looking forward to two more days from now on April the 24th and the 24th of April. I will be blessed to see another birthday. I tell you, it's another day's journey, and I'm so glad because the world can't do me any harm. I tell you, if it had not been, I tell you, you know, I'm getting more and more acquainted with David, Dr. Scott, as you walk in this gospel way. And after your heart, it says yes unto the Lord. See, the Bible is written. It was here before I arrived. Guess what? It'll be here after I'm gone for the next person to read the Word of God. But you know what? As we go through life's circumstances, we find that the Bible to us is nothing but words. For we find in the gospel that it call us that if we're not living according to what the Bible say, then we're a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Wow, that's pretty low. You mean to tell me I'm not living right, yet I'm here on the earth, and yet God is allowing me to have money in my pocket, a roof over my head. If you drive a car to drive or catch a ride, as some do, ride public transportation. And if we have not the attribute of Christ, love, compassion, and all of those things that go with it. I'm glad I said all of those things and that stuff. Some things I just don't think we should refer to the gospel as that stuff. But those things, because the Bible uses the word, it used the word things. Thank you, Father. We are nothing but a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. If we have not love, if we don't walk circumspectly in the capacity where Jesus Christ has ordered us to walk in the light, and we will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. My God in heaven. I love the Lord today because he is so good to me. I tell you, Dr. Scott, if you are not still having difficulties there, if I could just get you to pull up for me, and it's another one of my scholar, Benny Cummings. It's another one of his songs. I never get the titles right, but it's when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, it might be his goodness, or when I think about, I don't know, but it's one of Benny Cummings' songs. I heard this song early this morning, and I heard it with the 55th chapter of Isaiah. When you get it, just say amen, because I'm going to keep on talking. And Isaiah's gospel was telling us to come, all of you that thirst, and buy without money. That don't seem to add up. But when you think about how you're charged for everything, I guess maybe he was talking about come and buy without money. Maybe they weren't going to take up an offering that night. Do you think that's how it goes? They weren't going to tax you for coming into the presence of the Lord. I was watching the funeral service on yesterday of the patriot Barbara Pierce Bush, and I really enjoyed her pastor, her minister, the things that he said. It was just beautiful. And he also made a statement. He said, wow, and I believe the church held 2,000 plus comfortably. And he said, I'm thinking about an offering. And then he said, but I can hear Barbara Bush say, you better not. It was so cute how he put that nicely. But the thought occurred, this would be a very good crowd to raise an offering, perhaps to raise an offering to feed the hungry. to make sure that there was a benevolent fund to reach out to a bereaved family that was destitute, to reach out to someone that was left in a tsunami, in a flood, in a tornado. However he wanted to use the finances. I don't think he was thinking about to buy himself a car or a jet. I don't think the priest at all, he was Episcopalian, I guess they're called priests in my church, the men are called pastors, bishops, or elders. So forgive me if I'm ignorant to someone else's religious culture. But I know mine are called pastors, elders, ministers, bishops.
And amen.
So forth. Thank you. That means he's got this all. But I'm going to continue for just a few moments. I just thought about the crowd and an offering. For I have been at places, and I've been in Delaware where at a funeral they asked for an offering. Now that I don't quite agree with. The reason why I don't agree with it, they are asking for an offering because the family is struggling to bury or cremate their loved one or friend or cousin, whatever, however. I don't particularly like that one because I feel like they have lived on this earth for 42 years or 29 years or 70 years and you have no life insurance. That goes to show that they didn't think very much of the people that they were leaving behind. Because if you love someone, you want to make sure that it's painful enough, the death, and then to have to run around and beg money to bury your loved one. I just don't feel like I should contribute to that. But I will give to the hungry. I'll give to the poor. But I don't do offerings for funerals. I just think that should be their problem. And I feel like they should say, okay, this will not happen again in this family. The one who's completely capable of paying the insurance should say, well, you know what? I'm going to take out insurance on Cousin Joe so that if he should pass, I'm paying it. It's my policy, but you all won't have the hassle of trying to find money to bury that person. To God be the glory, Dr. Scott.
I hope this is a song. I don't know the lyrics.
Oh,
Yes, Jesus is my friend. And now we return to the woman on divine assignment, Pastor Benjamin.
Yes, thank you. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me, for he is my all. Without him, I'd fall like a ship without a sail. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, it's a good thing to dwell on the goodness of the Lord. I find that if you dwell on the goodness of the Lord, you won't have time to focus on all the other stuff that's going in the opposite direction. On last week, it was a very trying week. I had some folk that had problems, and they were hitting me morning, noon, and at night. The last call came in at 10 o'clock one night, and the person said, if I had a gun, this is where I would shoot up everything. These are very trying times. So the enemy is not a friend to anyone. Jesus is our friend. The songwriter said, there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Not one. You will not find a greater friend than Jesus. For the Bible said that no greater love hath no man that he would lay down his life for his friend. I know a lot of men claim to love their wives and, oh, I love my daughters, and yet, but would you lay down your life? If someone had a machine gun and began to shoot at your wife or your children, would you step in front of the machine gun and say, I'm getting ready to die for my children or my wife? I really don't see that happening. I see you trying to duck and hope that they'll be all right. But anyhow, to God be the glory. I know that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Let's go to the word of God. My time is drawing nigh. I'm going to go to Isaiah's gospel, and I'm just about finished. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. It's a beautiful thing that you know that you can come to God without money or his son Jesus. For Jesus has already paid the price for you and I to be able to come to the waters, to the fountains freely and drink of him, because he said he will never thirst that have me on the inside. I will be a well of water springing up throughout him. So Isaiah is telling the people, come to the water. If you're thirsty, come to the water, for the Bible declares that in Matthew's gospel, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So therefore, come to the waters without money. Come and drink, all ye that are thirsty. Come unto Jesus. He is the only one that satisfies your hunger and your thirst for righteousness. Man can't do it. Your pastor cannot fix that. Your evangelist can't do it. Your apostle cannot do that. Only Jesus can satisfy your hunger for righteousness. So therefore, Isaiah is saying again, it's a call of faith and repentance. Come, everyone, to the waters. Come ye to the waters, and he that have no money, God doesn't leave you out because you don't have any money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. My God, today, that preaches by itself. You can come unto Jesus just like you are, weary, worn, sad, busted, disgusted. Come to a fountain that is so rich, and cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Come on, get the milk. Have a little something to eat. Drink a little wine, for it's free unto thee. There's no price on it. There's no price when you say, touch me, Lord Jesus. Touch me. Fill my heart with you, Lord. Oh, my God, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, he made it possible for me to drink milk and wine. Oh, God, drink of the waters of him and just not thirst anymore. Oh, God, I love you. Verse number 2 says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? My God, today, we spend money on things of the household of faith that is not bread. We give money to things in the house of God that's not bread. That doing your soul any good. It's like casting your pearls before the swine. Let's read that again. And that verse, that particular says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? That's a question mark there. He's asking, why are you throwing your money away? My grandfather used to say, I can't put good money up against bad. So he wasn't going down to the courtroom, to the jailhouse, and bail you out, and you going right back. You're going to do the same thing. You haven't been reformed, so you're going back. And he said, I can't put my good money against something bad. So they're asking the question, why are you wasting your money? Why are you wasting time? Why are you purchasing stuff that's not doing you any good? And your labor for that which satisfy not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We have to put the things in this earthly vessel, since we say we are children of the Most High, and oh yes, I am a Christian. But what are you eating? What are you eating? Is it making your soul have fatness? Or are you on a diet against the things of God? I want to know today, what are you eating, children of God? Are you eating porn? Ooh. Oh, my God. Yes, some of us do. Are you eating every program on the television that swears and curse like crazy? Are you eating stuff that's not good for you? It has you on a spiritual diet. Watch what you eat. Because surely what comes out of a man, according to the scripture, is what will do him harm. Because you see, what goes in, coming out one way or another. You can tell by the conversation of a Christian, a Christ follower. You can tell by their conversation what they're eating. If always a bunch of negativity junk coming out of their conversation all the time, then that's what they give you. But a person who is eating and drinking of the goodness of Jesus, they will say to you, praise the Lord. You say, uh-oh, they're going to one of them Jesus people, one of them Jesus freaks. But one thing for sure, you won't have a problem identifying them. You know which side they are on. But then you got to watch those that are dressed like sheep and underneath they are just plain wolves. And they'll say praise the Lord too. That's why you need to be so connected to the Lord that he will show you that is none of mine. They're using my word, praise the Lord, but their heart is far from me. They're none of mine, so don't pay that any attention. They're polluted. They're eating the bread of a harlot. Oh, my God, today. They're not getting their daily bread from me. Ah, the Lord is not their shepherd. And yet they want for all of the things that is not of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All of the things of the world satisfy their thirst. They hunger after mess and junk. They love it. I don't have Showtime or Homebox back in the day when Homebox came out and they gave it to you as a trial. And we put Homebox on. Oh, man, we were somebody over here in Windward Way. We got Homebox. And we can watch that. And Lord, have mercy. We put that thing on, and they went to cursing and carrying on. My mother said, I'm getting that mess out of my house. And she got rid of it, too. She said, oh, no, that's not my language. Mm-mm. And I'm getting rid of that. But what are you eating? Are you keeping all of that so that you can be turned on by that? Because that only gives you a diet. You die with it. You separate yourself from the Lord. I'm talking about when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure, oh my God, you don't hear them talk about this one, do you? They talk about his mercy. But I don't hear any of us theologians focus on that word sure. I'm reading Isaiah Gospel 55. You better take and put a circle on that word sure. S-U-R-E, sure mercies. When God is making an everlasting covenant with you, you are sure to have his mercy. My God, I like that, don't you? I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David had a lot of mercies. You hear me? David was good. David was bad. David was rich. David was honest. David was poor. David was good. David was bad. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the things of God, but yet there were times when he allowed his flesh to love the things of the world. But yet David obtained mercy from God. One is because he acknowledged that I'm just nothing but God. It's me again. I messed up again. Some of us mess up and we think we're doing right and we will not repent and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry that I did that. David even said, Lord, if you make me rich, that's good. Can't get no more honest than that. David said, Lord, if you make me rich, I'll forget about you. Because, see, then you won't be important to me anymore. My money will be my God. Because then I can do whatever I want with my money. But, see, that was a fool thinking. And David said, Lord, and if you make me poor, that's not good either. Why, David? Because then I'll steal. So either way, it was just not good for being rich or poor as far as David was concerned. But God put me right in the middle. Let me need your mercy. Let me need your love and your kindness. And God make me poor enough so that I can remember that the day that I might have been hungry and I found food so that I won't look on my neighbor. And I will share and break bread with the poor. Let's read the book. Give me a few more minutes. Behold, verse number 4, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous. Now look, you got the wicked and the unrighteous hooked up here together. You're not just unrighteous, you're wicked and unrighteous. My God, I would think unrighteous would be just enough, but no, we got some unrighteous people that's not wicked, but you got some wicked people that, let's read that again. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The wicked has a chance, and the unrighteous has a chance to be a partaker in the first chapter of Isaiah 55. Come. But in order to come, you've got to forsake your ways. Unrighteous man, forsake your ways. Your ways is not pleasing to God. So therefore, be a little hard for you to drink of the water of the goodness of Jesus. But if you turn from your wicked ways, my God, turn from your wicked ways and let God abide. Hey, God, he'll bring you out. He'll walk you through it. Hey, Hey, God, I feel Jesus. God, I feel your presence in this place. Oh, my God. Yes, the songwriter Benny Cummings said, can't nobody do me like Jesus, for he's my friend. And so therefore, another songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege it is to carry. Ah, seek ye the Lord today. While he can't be found, you can't seek him from the grave. Call on him while he's near. I heard a preacher say on yesterday that the Lord has his hand on the doorknob. Time is drawing nigh. Thank God for him having his hand on the doorpost. Soon and very soon, he's going to shut down the wicked and the unrighteous. They better stand in the holy place now while you have a chance to come unto the fountain. Come, ye that thirst. Come, now is the time. It's free to you now. It's going to cost your life later, but it's free to you now. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways. Your ways is not God's way. You hear that, don't you? Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Today I heard is Earth Day. And watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Look out! The trees got hands, y'all. They're going to clap for you, but you got to turn from your wicked ways. So you're eating the wrong stuff. I asked you earlier, what are you eating? Wickedness and unrighteousness, those things. They were on that tree in the garden. But if you turn away from them, the Lord will allow the trees to clap their hands in your favor. My God, today, you all better look at this, Isaiah 55. You better leave 54 alone. You better hang out with 55. Oh, bless his name. Ah, I like that for this show. Clap their hands. And I'm finishing with this 13th verse here of 55. That is the end of 55, verse 13. Instead of the thorns, oh my God, shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar, oh my God, shall come up the myrtle tree. Listen what God's doing for you. Instead of you getting a tree of thorns, he's not doing that. Look, he said so. Instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree, F-I-R, tree. My God. And instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree for you. Come on, dummy. Get right. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, that the church and the people of God, who is the church, say, amen. God bless you.
Yes, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Pastor Benjamin. Our woman on divine assignment for another inspiring and uplifting sermon. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Pastor Benjamin.
Never, daddy, even in our There must be some dark cloud. Oh, when I lie, and that with sorrow, sorrow and blood, because the sun will never, oh, the sun ain't always gonna shine. God will take care.